Wilner will take your phone yells after the game. Hate Blue Jays talk. Pick up the phone and yell in to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Pleasant good afternoon, evening, everybody. My name is Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays pregame extra. We're getting you set for the Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins. It's the first of a three-game series. The Jays, 22-27. No, that's not right. 22-26. And heading now into a series of nine consecutive games against first-place ball clubs. Three with the Twins. Three with the Washington Nationals, both on the road, and then three back here in Toronto against the Houston Astros. Because the Blue Jays are in the Central Time Zone, we get to give you Blue Jays pregame extra. We're not going to hook up with the rest of the country until the bottom of the hour. When we do, it'll be Mark Burley for the Blue Jays, Trevor May for the Minnesota Twins, weather permitting. Get your dialing fingers ready. We may have a long rain delay program for you tonight. 70% chance of rain in Minneapolis for the evening, and it's raining right now, but there is no official word of any sort of delay just yet. And I was wrong. 22-27 are the Blue Jays right now. 3.5 games out of first and 6 games out of the wild card, which just tells you how terrible the American League East is right now. On our Blue Jays pregame extra, we generally would feature some sort of a feature interview or a roundtable or some such. But today is kind of a special day. And if you were just listening to Primetime Sports, you heard from the man who just brought me a little tiny glass of champagne. Woohoo.
Apple juice.
We're Harry carrying it up on the air today. Ryan Walsh is here with us.
How are we, Mikey?
We're all right. How are you? Was that a big... I don't see tears in your eyes.
No. Because I'm not going that far.
Yeah, it's the end of an era.
A little different. Well, for who? For me?
For you.
Yeah, but no, I get to do television and see what that's about and, you know, follow in your footsteps.
No, I haven't done any television.
You've done a bit.
I've never on with Tim and Sid, and I've never done any television, so there you go.
Okay.
Ryan Walsh is here, not because he was a fine producer of Primetime Sports for the last 16 years, but... because before that, he was a producer back when it was called Jays Talk. Mm-hmm. You were the third full-time producer that I had after the legendary Darren Stevenson.
Right.
And Robert J. Pizzo.
Yeah.
Then you followed, mm-hmm. and Ken Rodney came in after you, but the shoes were just too much for him to fill, so he's gone on to other places. And tonight is like a debut night for the new guy, too. Kenny Cesney has taken over.
Kenny Cesney. That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can't believe nobody had thought of that till now. Mike Cesney is going to be our new producer. But so it was it 4 years? 3 years? Three or four?
Like three is the main guy and pretty much four when I was filling in for anytime Pizzo had to fill in for other people. So
right.
It was always like a chain of command. And I was like the second guy, the second part-time person.
For a year.
Yeah.
And then you became...
Yeah.
And but we go back to down the dial when you were interning at 680.
When I was 19 years old, yeah. And even more awkward than I am right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
A very long time ago. Yeah, 99, yeah.
Really? That was it, 99?
Yeah, 99, yeah.
That was when I actually became a full-time player.
That's right.
Down at the other end.
Yeah, it was you and Bill Cole and Sarah Buchan and Peter Gross and Andrew Nye came right towards the end.
Andrew Nye took my job.
Right.
When I left, Andrew Nye took over for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when... I took over for Scott Ferguson here, right. But Barry Davis's last day at the Fan, when he was a reporter at the Fan,
yeah.
Was my first day at the Fan.
Really?
I think I got his job.
Oh, okay.
Even though Fergie was gone.
Okay.
So you're not all emotional and cryy and anything like that, and that's good. And we're with Ryan Walsh. But they talked to you about your primetime memories.
Yeah.
What about your Jays Talk memories?
They're usually good, and I love the fact that...
I hope so.
No, yeah. No, but, like, the one story, and I don't even know why I should start with this, but because the one thing that really sticks out in my mind is whenever we did the playoffs, and so anytime there was any kind of playoff games, and in my era, there was no Blue Jays playoff games.
Yeah, so, mine too.
Right, exactly. So what we normally did was, you know, like we would hang out essentially the whole day. And this was during the divisional series.
Yeah, well, we'd be here from like noon to midnight sometime.
Right. And there was this one awkward time where the last game was at 11:30 Eastern time so that they could fit all three games in.
Okay.
And it was the only time I could ever remember that even happening. So I was doing like the international sports report and everything else that was on like the Saturday afternoon stuff. So I showed up at around noon on the Saturday, and that kind of morphed into the three games that we did together. And, you know, you're taking calls all over the place. And by the time we were done, I mean, there were no subways going. And, you know, I live in North York at the time. So I just said, you know what, forget it. I have to be back early anyway to do the high school show and Inside the Lines. Wow. and that kind of stuff. So I said, you know what, I'll just sleep in one of the studios. And I maybe had 2.5 hours sleep, and I woke up. But I woke up to a phone call that informed us that Tom Cheek passed away.
All right.
So
good morning, yeah.
Right. So when that happened, I had to go through all the other shows, and I was talking to you, and we tried to think of a way to actually do it the right way. And so we kind of went in between the games and everything else, and but right towards the end of it, again, this was about like what. 12 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night on the Sunday night after another 2 or 3 game
right.
marathon.
I think we did like an hour and a half before the first game.
Right.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you opened the phone lines and you said, you know, let's just take Tom Cheek calls. And you told everybody that we're not going to get off the air until all the calls were taken. And the thing that really stuck out with me was because of how you looked at Tom Cheek was the same way that I looked at you.
No,
seriously. And
oh, thank you.
And so watching that through your eyes, and it was tragic, but it was so beautiful to actually watch fans interact like the exact same way that, you know, like that you and I would interact with your heroes, right?
Right.
So like, yeah. You know, it was the sound of their youth. It was the sound of baseball to them. And listening to that, you start realizing that it's not just what we do here as just like a sports station. I mean, this is the passion that everyone has. And the reason why we got into it was because of that passion. But when you hear it from somebody else, just a regular guy who's just working his 9 to 5, but then he turns on the radio and it's fantastic at 7 o'clock, you know, that's his escape. And so when I made that connection, it was really that night. So that's the one thing that really sticks out.
Wow. And that's 10 years ago,
yeah.
October 2005,
yep.
When Tom Cheek passed away. And I remember that day. Too clear as a bell, and I think mm-hmm. I have 4 CDs. Like it took 4 CDs for all mm-hmm. the phone calls
yeah.
from the beginning of the day till the end of that night,
yeah.
And we gave them to Jeff Cheek and Shirley, mm-hmm. and I still have a copy too. It was an amazing day,
yeah.
And it was great to have you there to go through it with mm-hmm. me because it was, I mean. It was a really big deal.
Yeah.
It wasn't sudden or shocking or anything. We all knew right. that Tom was going to go, unfortunately. But it was, yeah, I mean, that was among the most seminal moments of my career
yeah.
doing this, too. And, I mean, very kind of you to say what you did. I don't know. Tom's a guy that I was 8 years old listening to on the radio and mm-hmm. then, you know, to go through that, to get to work with the guy, even though it was only 2.5 years, and it was amazing. And yeah, that was a big, big day.
Mm-hmm. And like I got here noon on Saturday and I left the building at maybe 2:30 on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
I probably drove you home.
Yeah. Honestly. And, but it was just one of those things that just stuck out in my mind that it was, you can't say it was tragic. I mean, like, you know, like he
it was emotional. You know, it was moving.
Right.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. And for good or for bad, I mean, that's the reason why we're in this, to make that kind of connection for people.
And the thing, too, with you as a producer of that, you know, they say, people say, oh, I talked to your call screener, but it's a lot more in depth than that. Mm-hmm. And you're getting their stories before I'm getting their stories.
Yeah.
So it's even more like you get the more in-depth stuff. Mm-hmm. I only get the stuff they have time to talk to me on the radio before I move on.
Yeah. And there were a lot of ridiculous calls, especially when we had like Wednesdays with JP and that kind of stuff, because anytime it was after a loss, it was, okay, why did you make this acquisition? Or why, you know, why can't you make this acquisition? And the majority of the calls that you are, like, you know, screening are the people that just say, okay, why don't you get this guy? And it's hard to explain to a fan, okay, think about the question being asked to a Major League Baseball general manager where he says, oh, yeah, you know what, we really like him, or we don't like him, or you know what, if they come to us, we'll make it happen. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
You know, so, but, like, it's always fun to interact with fans, especially because they're so rabid in this city for baseball.
Do you think it's changed since you left? I mean, now, you know, you go to prime time and you don't have to deal with that as much. And I know there was a long time where Bob didn't take calls at all.
Yeah.
But sometimes just Monday and Friday. Mm-hmm. Listening to my show and the stuff that you know, again, we say call screener.
Yeah.
You guys, people say to me, who's screening those calls? You should hear the people who don't get on, who the Walshes and the Pizzos and Darrens and now Cesney's have to say no to. Mm. But has it changed? I mean, there still hasn't been any playoffs since you left, probably your fault.
Right.
There's still, you know, there've been ups and downs.
Yeah.
But do you think the tone of the caller has changed since you were taking them way back when?
I think the callers are a little bit more rational than what they were. Yeah, honestly.
Wow.
Because
all right.
I think that they've educated themselves a little bit more on the game itself, as opposed to what a clutch hitter is, or, you know, like this guy was, you know, 7-3 or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, so yeah. I mean, like they understand the game a little bit more. I mean, there's obviously a bit of an arrogance that comes with it because of social media and because you have a voice right away and you have connections. I mean, like watching you on Twitter, I mean, I don't know how you do it day in, day out. It's insane. But like the amount of people that actually feel like, okay, this is what's wrong. I know the answer to this. And you are the person that they want to talk to.
Right.
And so that's the beauty of this, and the beauty of Jay's talk and that kind of stuff was always so fun, because even if they were garbage by July or August.
Which they were.
Yeah. But you could always rely on at least an hour's worth of calls if you needed it. You know, like the people were lining up to talk to you. You know, and so like that never goes away. But like I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right word. I mean, the rage that I used to get, you don't get as much now.
Oh, you didn't listen last Saturday. But yeah, there's always been a lot of outrage, and that's part of the beauty of the, you know, the immediacy, right? And I've said a lot, there's no sober second thought on my show because the game's right over and they're picking up the phone and they're calling. It would be like you calling in a Montreal Canadiens post-game show.
Right.
Right? You're not going to be rational, mm-hmm. and you're probably not going to let yourself get talked too far off the ledge by the host either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, no, but you've seen it. You have the right idea, or you believe that you have the right idea because you saw it with your own eyes, and, you know, like, this is your view, and it's the whole hot takery kind of thing, you know? Like, you have it right away. You just saw what was happening in this game, and it was a 2.5-hour game, so it's building. And it's building. And then Gibby didn't do this. And then Anthopoulos hasn't acquired that. And, you know, like, how did you not make that double play? And it just keeps building, especially in baseball, because it's slow. It's methodical.
And this helps too, right?
Yes.
Social media helps it build now.
Yeah.
Now that there's Twitter, where they're, I don't know what we would have done back then if we had to do this too. But yeah, you can be priming yourself and get more and more outraged as the game goes along.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like you do a very good job of either starting fires or putting some out, and it's fun to watch. Yeah,
I try to put them out. I do, honest.
Yeah,
that's Ryan Walsh, just leaving as producer of Primetime Sports and former producer of Blue Jays Talk, formerly the Blue Jays Talk, the Jays Talk when you were here. Do you have a besides that cheek day, do you have like a favorite caller that stands out or some moment in time? I know that's really putting you on the spot because people ask me for a favorite caller. I mean, I have one now, but until Saturday, I didn't
have. I always loved the fact that Russ in Jersey called.
Russ in Jersey's awesome.
You know, because I mean, it was always great when the Jays were playing in New York and you could hear the people leaving Yankee Stadium. Mm. And that to me always sounded like baseball, you know, like because he had a little bit of the accent and you hear the crowd behind him and he's just walking to the subway. And, you know, he's just like, I just saw this, put me on.
And he's become a thing now. You know, I don't know if you know, Russ in Jersey has become a thing. He has he's made contacts with some of the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Because he's there at every road game in New York, Baltimore, unless it's a Jewish holiday, or you know, Philadelphia, too, when they go. He's taken, like, some of the guys out for dinner. And,
what?
And yeah. He's not the players, but some of the behind-the-scenes people.
Right.
He's really kind of insinuated himself into this thing. And he just, you know, it's great for him. But, see, that's the power of the regular caller on the post-game show.
Well, and right away when you said the regular caller, the first thing I thought of was Raptor Eyes John. Because, John, God bless him. I mean, you know, he passed away a few years ago. But every time that he would call in, and you didn't have to screen him.
Nope.
You know, you just heard him laugh.
Yep.
And you're like, all right, John, here we go. You know, and he always gets to the head of the list. And I know there were a bunch of people that, you know, couldn't stand the fact that it was always the same guys, quote unquote, like, you know, like just
two or three sometimes. Yeah.
But there was a reason why they were there. They were part of the characters in this play that we do. And he was the best. He was awesome. And I love the fact that he always called into Blue Jays.
And Alex Sixero, who was just on the other side of the glass, there were a bunch of guys. Oh, there he is. There's Alex. When still to this day, when I call in or when I forget to call in and he calls me to do those hits at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock on before home games, I call him and he picks up the phone. He goes, "Yo, Miguel." And that was Raptor Eyes John. That's how he started every call.
Mm-hmm.
That was, he was something. It changes over the years, but there's a cast of characters. And that's part of what makes it fun. And it must make it fun for you, too.
Well, yeah, because you can associate a name with a voice. And they're a character in your head. They're actually somebody. It's not just a random thing on Twitter or just, you know, first-time caller, long-time thing or whatever. I mean, like, it's actually part of what you do. And I screen calls today for the last time. I think the last time. And
well, you'll be back.
Yeah, but you know, in the back of my mind, and, you know, I don't know these people, but I'm hoping that, you know, like Keith and Burlington calls and like this guy and that guy. And I'm hoping that that happens because they meant something to me.
Yeah.
As we go. And, you know, like, you don't know where they go. You don't know what they do. You know, like, you know, they could sell poison milk to school children. You know, you don't know. But I mean, you hope not. But because they are characters and because of they enhance what we do. And I love that.
I always hope that Clifton and Etobicoke calls.
Love
because
Clifton.
He only calls Blair. Or yep. I guess he calls Bob.
Always
too.
Calls Bob, yeah.
Yeah, but he never calls. He calls me like maybe once every 2 or 3 months. So yeah. I always feel like special when I get a call from him. Because they're good. And you know what? And you can have good conversations with them. And they form relationships with you too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
love
they
it.
Feel like they know. There's a big crowd building. They want to take you out and get you enjoying your last night. And it's I feel like I'm in Romper Room here. I see Alex and I see Zoe and I see Ranch and all these people and Kenny over there. And but it speaks well to how highly you're thought of here. And I have to, you know, they always sent me the kids. They always sent me, except for Darren, I think. And Stevenson actually just tweeted us to say he can't believe it was that long ago, and over 10 years ago. It was 15 years ago for him. But they always sent me the fresh meat. And, you know, I'm not sure why, because it was either one or the other. And I'm not, as much as people out there might believe, I'm not arrogant enough to believe that it was because they thought I could help out and mold you and all that stuff. I think it's because they thought, well, he's not really all that important enough to put a good producer on. We'll just let these kids sink or swim. And for every you and Pizzo and K-Rod and Darren, there was, you know.
Others.
Yeah. Whose names, I'm not going to say, but they're no longer around. But it always felt, you know, I was kind of, I always wanted you guys to go on and do great things. But I also kind of wanted everybody else to stay where they were because I didn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
And I loved having you around for those years. I think it was a really, it was, you know, all some guys stand out more than others, and I've mentioned more names more than others, but I mean, it's a meaningful thing, and it you develop this relationship, and it's really a partnership working. Yeah. And it was just so great to have you to have you stick around for so long. I'm glad that no opportunities opened up for a few years while you were with me.
Me too. And, you know, again, we started together in 1999.
Yeah. Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, honestly. And like that in itself is insane to me.
Especially since you're only like 24 still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I started very young.
Yeah.
But through everything, you make these relationships as you go, and there are certain people and certain, you know, situations that, you know, you learn together, you go through the fire together and everything else. But to this day, I still think that you are the reason why I'm in this business.
Please.
And, you know, like, just not to kiss your ass or anything like that, but honestly, and the fact that any time that McCowan is on vacation, I will put you on, and it's the first phone call that I make, and you know that.
Yeah, I do. Well, you're far too kind, but thank you. I have 38 seconds left, and you know how good I am with the clock.
Yeah.
I took all those calls from Brenner way back when. First of all, thanks. Thanks for working here. Thanks for working with me for so long. Thanks for being your first call when I was not around. But I know you're only going to be down the hall, but we're going to miss you, and it's just been so great having you, and I wish you nothing but luck and success, and I'm sure one day in the not-too-distant future, I'll be working for you.
Not a boy.
All right, there he is, Ryan Walsh. Ladies and gentlemen, you follow him at Legend of Zombo on the Twitter. Blue Jays and Twins, less than good news for Miguel Castro coming up. We will fill you all in as we hit the network at the bottom of the hour. Hopefully we'll have a ball game. It's Blue Jays pregame extra, and it's Sportsnet 590 The Fan.